20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 327 of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. My name is Andy Herman. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Scani Sports. And of course, you can always find my writing on Cheesehead TV. Today, I am joined by a very special guest. My guest today has been an intern with NBC Sports, was a freelance writer during the 2018 Winter Olympics. She interned at the Players Tribune, as well as for the New York Islanders, and is currently the Packers multimedia reporter for the Green Bay Press Gazette. My guest today is Olivia Reiner. Olivia, thank you so much for taking the time to join me. I really appreciate it. And tell us a little bit about yourself and thanks for taking the time.
Sure. Yeah, no, I'm happy to be here. Happy to chat with you. Always love to talk about what I'm doing, what's going on in the Packers world, and just what's going on with me, I guess, right now too. So it's been about 9 months since I moved out here to Green Bay to work for the Press Gazette. I started with them in October now. So that was right after I wrapped up my college career, my degree at Northwestern. So I did my undergraduate and my graduate degrees at Northwestern University in the Medill School of Journalism. And I finished up at the end of the summer last year, both of those degrees. And right after that, I just about immediately after, I interviewed for this position with the Press Gazette and flew out here, had like 3 days of intense interviews and got the job, and shortly afterwards moved out to Green Bay. So yes, I've been out here for 9 months, and for most of that time I've been covering the Packers. And just recently I was sort of moved into a position with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that allows me to cover all three teams, major professional teams in Wisconsin, so the Brewers and the Bucks as well. So I'm definitely newer to that. I'm new to everything, really, but I'm newer to that. And in the off season of the NFL, I'll have a little bit more time to do some stuff with the Bucks and the Brewers, depending on where they are in the season, where they are in the playoffs, if they make the playoffs. So that is kind of how I got here. I'm originally from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Like I said, went to school right outside of Chicago for 4 years. A little over 4 years. And quite a bunch of different internship experiences, all wonderful, all part of the reason why I am here today. So that is a very long story short.
No, that's perfect. And I'm not sure who ultimately made that decision at the Press Gazette, but you've been killing it. And we certainly appreciate your work as Packer fans, and certainly not a bad time to start covering the Bucks or Brewers either with the seasons they've been putting together recently.
Oh, well, thank you. Yes. No, I totally, everything has happened at a great time, even with the Packers. I mean, getting to cover a coaching change it has been really interesting to me. A lot of my colleagues haven't had to do this, at least for a very long time. So it's been an eye-opening experience all around.
Yeah, for you certainly, and for us starting the first 365 day a year podcast, certainly decent timing with a coaching change, with two top 25 draft picks, four big free agent signings. There certainly hasn't been a lack of stories to talk about this offseason, that's for sure.
Not at all. The NFL does a very good job of staying relevant, not just the Packers. The Packers have been relevant in general as well, but the NFL does a very good job of staying relevant year round, even when there are no games being played, which is very impressive.
Absolutely. So I want to talk a little bit more about your story. I actually saw that you are producing a documentary that's going to be premiering at the 2019 American Documentary Film Festival this year. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So that actually premiered, I believe, in March at that film festival. Yeah. So I made a documentary with two of my classmates in my master's program at Northwestern. And it was about a Chicago high school basketball star named Kizo Brown, went to Simeon in the south side of Chicago, which is where, for example, Jabari Parker went, Derrick Rose went, a very well-known high school for producing NBA caliber talent. And the story was about this young kid, Kizo Brown, who was sort of following in the footsteps of a lot of those big names that I just mentioned. He was the first freshman starter since Jabari Parker at Simeon. And he kind of had a little bit of a falling out with basketball, had dealt with some mental health issues. So the documentary is about his story and some of the things that he's had to deal with and sort of his path back to where he wants to be in playing basketball. So he played most recently in the JBA, which was LeVar Ball's basketball league. He played for the team in Chicago. So he's grinding it out. He's got quite the interesting story. The film did premiere at the American Documentary Film Festival in Palm Springs back in March. And at the moment, we are trying to sell it somewhere. So we're working on that. And that has been quite the experience in itself. So it's very cool getting to be a part of the pre-production, the production, and the post-production. And I feel like now we're in like post-production phase of this documentary. So I loved it. I learned a lot in that class. It was good because I come from more of a broadcast perspective, I guess you could say. I took a lot of formal broadcast classes in school, and I felt like the documentary class that I took was able to help balance that out. And it's something that I use a lot of those skills that I learned in the documentary class now in my job. So I'm very happy I took that class, very happy that the documentary is doing well, and hopefully we sell it somewhere.
Well, that's really cool. It's a really great story, and definitely want to check that out. Certainly seems like you are a jack of all trades, which kind of brings me to my next question. Obviously, like I mentioned, you did kind of some work for NBC Sports as an internship. You covered the Winter Olympics. You also, did some work for the New York Islanders. So you kind of touched base on this a little bit, but how did you ultimately become the Packers multimedia reporter for the Press Gazette? Is this something that you always wanted to do with sports journalism, or did the right opportunity come up at the right time? And how did you end up in Green Bay, Wisconsin?
Yes, I have so many questions as well about all of this too. It's been quite the journey. I have always loved sports in some capacity. I played sports growing up, as we all do. I did not play sports in college. I was not that good. But I played sports in high school. And it's always been a part of my life. I didn't really get into sports super passionately until I was in high school, I think. I mean, I grew up, parents took me to sporting events. We went to a lot of Phillies games growing up. Baseball was big. Basketball, 76ers were big. I honestly didn't go to that many Eagles games as a kid because my dad didn't want to expose me to Eagles fans.
Sure.
So I went to maybe, I think I've been to 2 Eagles games live in person. I've watched plenty on TV growing up, but I hardly went to a live NFL game as a kid. So anyway, that was my sporting background, but I didn't really fall in love with sports until I started watching hockey when I was in high school. I got really into it, got really into the Blackhawks, and then I was kind of bandwagon, I'll be completely honest, on the all the Blackhawks success in 2010, even when they played the Flyers, my hometown team. In 2010, and then became a Flyers fan too, and now I'm sort of an Islanders fan because I worked for the team for a little bit. But yeah, so I didn't really know I wanted to do anything in sports until I had started watching hockey when I was in high school. I'd always loved to write. I'd always loved video as well. I took a digital media class in high school and got really into video storytelling. And I kind of wanted to marry those things and try broadcast journalism. So that's what I went to school for. I went to school to be a journalist, and I always thought I wanted to do broadcast. And it kind of worked out that way. And I guess in a lot of ways, my job is very similar to what a multimedia journalist on air on TV would do. But there are a lot of differences, and I have a little bit more flexibility that I'm sure a lot of the TV people don't necessarily have. So there's some carryover in those skills. But yeah, I always wanted to do sports. I came in the mindset freshman year that I wanted to try sports, try news, and I ultimately really enjoyed a lot of the people in the extracurriculars that I did. I did student TV sports. I did the sports show that Northwestern has. So I really enjoyed a lot of the other students that were involved in those things. So it was, I really liked it. And the more I did it and the more professional experiences that I had outside of school, the more I knew that this is what I wanted to do with my life. So when I saw that this job had been posted, I actually found it on the USA Today careers page. and I was applying for jobs out of school, and I was looking everywhere. I kept a very open mind. I didn't necessarily have to be on TV to do what I wanted to do. I wanted to look at digital outlets too. So I kind of applied all over the place, and I saw this job, and I read the description. It said that they were looking for someone with an NFL expertise or an expertise with the Packers. And I knew that I didn't have that, but I felt like I had everything else that they were looking for from a skills perspective. So I applied, and a few days later, a week later, I think I got an email and had two phone interviews. They liked me enough to fly me out. I had a 3-day interview palooza that was, gosh, I think 10 interviews.
Wow.
And then came back home and got the job. So yeah, it's they trusted me. I was very transparent in the interview process. I was like, listen, I do not have a huge background in the NFL, and I certainly don't know everything about the Packers, but I'm here to learn, and I want to learn, and I want to get there. I have the skills that I, you know, I can do the job you're asking me to. It's just, you know, the expertise will take some time. So they were cool with it. And yeah, that's kind of how I ended up here.
Well, it's a really cool story. And like I said from earlier, you're definitely killing it. And we're certainly pumped to have you covering the team. And like you've put out a ton of amazing content, and you're certainly already an expert at battling the winds of Lambeau Field and catching tripods. So you've certainly made your transition well.
Thank you. I'm very flattered. Yes, I've had to learn the hard way about the wind.
I can only imagine. So I want to transition, obviously, this point to some of the things that are going on with the Packers. Obviously, you have a little bit more of an up close and personal view with the team. As you mentioned earlier, you started in October 2018 of last year. Just kind of want to go over, obviously, you've kind of gone through this transition along with the team, you know, starting with, you know, kind of mid-season last year and now to the new era with Matt LaFleur. What are some of the biggest differences that you've noticed so far from covering the team? And has there been any sort of culture change in any sort of capacity?
Yeah, I think to me, the most obvious thing right away, and you don't even have to have eyes to really understand this, if you're present at practice, is now they play music at practice, which was something that when I walked into one of LaFleur's first practices, I was like, oh my gosh, are they leaving this on? and I don't know if that's the norm elsewhere in the NFL, but yeah, they'd never played music for the most part when McCarthy was coach. I vaguely remember them playing some music to sort of simulate crowd noise at points during practice when he was around, but it never stayed on through the entire practice. And now the music is always on, indoors or outdoors. It's loud, and I know because I try to avoid the speaker because if you stand by it, it's pretty loud. So that's just something small, I guess. But at the same time, you can tell the players are really into it. There's a lot of dancing that is going on at practices.
Jamal Williams especially.
Jamal Williams seems to be the ringleader. He gets Aaron Jones going. I saw the last week a bunch of the receivers were dancing, a little Equanimeous St. Brown, Marquez Valdez-Scantling dancing going on. I feel like I have some good footage at some point or another. I should make a big compilation video of the dancing that goes on. But
I definitely think that should be we'll be looking for that.
Okay, good. I'm being held accountable now. yeah, I mean, it's a small thing, but it's something that they all seem to like. And Jamal Williams has talked about it quite a bit as well, is that Matt LaFleur's youth is something that has been picked up on by a lot of these guys, and something that they respect. And there's a sense of mutual respect between LaFleur and some of the younger guys as well. I think they have a better understanding of each other. And it's just been interesting to hear them talk about just some of the changes. Something else that I wouldn't really know from the past, but some of my colleagues would, is that some of the mini camp, at least this mandatory mini camp this past week, was closed to the public for the first time in a really long time.
Yeah.
I think there's been more closed things than there has been in the past, from my understanding. And I think to my understanding, that's just because Matt has said he's not used to having open OTAs at all to the public. That's not something that he's had in the past. So I think when they had the when he had the option to close minicamp. I guess he took it. I don't know if that'll be happening in the future again, but I know that came as a surprise to some of my colleagues who have been around for a little bit, for much longer than I have. Let's just say a lot, as almost an entire lifetime. Tom Silverstein has almost has been working for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel covering the Packers about as long as I've been alive. So if they're great resources for me, but and they know a lot, so they've been very helpful and they've helped me put all of this into perspective. When I notice things, when I have questions, they're very good at addressing that. Another difference, hands-on stuff, I think, in general from Matt LaFleur, now that he's been confined to the cart, that's probably going to change. It has changed, but he's still rolling up alongside the players at practices, giving them feedback, critiquing them. But it was very, like, the very first time I remember watching him throw passes to a running back at rookie minicamp or something, and I was just like, what is happening? It was just something that I wasn't used to. Again, this is all my first impressions of some of these things in the NFL, so it was really cool to see that. So the hands-on stuff, yeah, those are just some of the big takeaways that I've seen, at least at these last couple of weeks with OTAs and with minicamp.
Yeah, some great observations. And I think, you know, a couple of those. So the music, and it just seems to be that there's a little bit more of a laid back atmosphere. And I kind of noted this a couple of weeks ago where I'm a little bit hesitant to, you know, to say that everyone seems more laid back and easygoing, because I think anytime you hire a new head coach, there's going to be that optimism. You know, hope springs eternal at this point of year. You've got a healthy Aaron Rodgers. You've got those, you know, two top 25 draft picks, the four big free agents. Like, everything should be positive and easygoing at this point. But at the same token, you know, you can also start seeing some red flags at this point if things aren't going the way that you would expect them to. And I think he's leaned into his youth, which is a good thing. I think he's, you know, related with the players and had the music going and made things laid back, which I think is absolutely the right way to go. And it definitely seems to have resonated with the players so far. So even though that I think that, you know, it should be going that way at this point, it's a great thing to see that it is going that way.
Oh, absolutely. I think right now, like you said, we're kind of in a honeymoon phase with the team. It's just,
for sure,
they haven't lost a game yet. So it's, you know, there's not a whole lot to be critical of yet. We can certainly have questions about how things are going to play out with Aaron Rodgers in this new offense and a bunch of other things. But at this point, no games have been played. No one's won a game. No one's lost a game. So it's easy to have just sort of this, you know, outlook on the team. I completely understand. And yeah, I mean, once things start happening, I wonder if things will change at all as we move through the season, but that's something that will remain to be seen.
Yeah, I think that first, you know, bout with adversity will tell a lot about, you know, how they handle that going forward. But one other note, you know, you mentioned about the open practice. I was definitely a little bit surprised at that as well, just because I couldn't recall a mini camp being closed. And I was a little surprised, maybe I just missed it, but I was a little surprised that there wasn't more made out of it. It seemed kind of to just go by the wayside. But for a community and a fan base that is so one in the same with their team, it seemed to kind of come and go a little bit without, you know, much ado about it. But like I said, maybe I just missed it. And, you know, overall, there was just two practices. The third one ended up being the team activity anyway. So probably not a huge deal, but I love that the fact that you noted it. And I definitely thought it was noteworthy.
No, absolutely. Yeah, honestly, it wouldn't have occurred to me unless some of my other colleagues had brought it up. And yeah, because obviously I wouldn't have known from years past. But it's interesting. It didn't seem like it was a super, like, intentional trying to shut out the fan base type of right. thing. I could understand how it would come off that way. At least that's what LaFleur said. He didn't say anything specifically addressing the fan base, but he made it seem like it was just something that he wasn't used to having, was having these open to the public mini camps or OTAs. So that was my impression of it all.
Nope, that definitely makes sense. So, you know, obviously we touched base on Matt LaFleur, but they really changed over a ton of their coaching staff. Has there been any other, you know, changes within the coaching staff that have kind of stood out to you? Maybe somebody that's been really good with the media, or maybe just somebody that's kind of caught your eye from the coaching staff so far, either on the field or off the field?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously the biggest impression of the coaching staff is that they're so young. I mean, I think the coaching staff as a whole averages about 39 years old, which is very young. But I think someone that has stood out, and I'm sure other people have said similar things too, is Nathaniel Hackett is just got so much energy to him and has such a presence even when he addresses the media. I always wonder how much of that is like how much of that carries over to what we see on the podium, how much of that energy translate to the locker room or to the meeting room. Because he just has such a personality to him. He seems like a really interesting guy, and he's really engaging. He speaks really fast on the podium. As someone who's had to transcribe his words, he speaks really quickly. I'll slow down the audio to go back and transcribe things. And when I have the audio as slow as it can possibly be played back, it is still sometimes very hard to keep up with what he's saying. But he's got a lot of energy. In the very beginning, it was really interesting to me to see the contrast between him and LaFleur and how they address the media, because especially in the beginning, Matt LaFleur seemed really nervous and quiet and a little bit reserved. And Nathaniel Hackett had a lot of energy. And it was kind of interesting to see the contrast of the two. But I think LaFleur has gotten a lot more comfortable talking to the media, and Hackett is still as energetic as he's always been. So he's someone who I think is really interesting. He's got an interesting background, an interesting story. And it's been good to hear from him. None of the other, trying to think if any of the other coaches have stood out to me a lot. There's not as many like characters, I guess, in these press conferences that they do every so often. I felt like there were some more interesting characters on Mike McCarthy's coaching staff from a sure. press conference perspective, but definitely Hackett has been the standout to me so far with this coaching staff.
Yeah, Nathaniel Hackett was definitely somebody that I was pretty excited about, especially when I went back and watched some of the Jacksonville tape. But then, like you said, as you get to know his personality a little bit, a little bit more, and as somebody personally who also has been told to slow down when he's podcasting and talks really fast and, drinks a lot of energy drinks and then gets even faster when he talks, I certainly respect that out of Nathaniel Hackett as well. So I just love his energy. And like you said, I think that dynamic between Matt LaFleur and Nathaniel Hackett is really unique. And the other thing that you mentioned that I wanted to bring up there too, is it's been really unique to see, Matt LaFleur evolve in such a short period of time with just, like you said, that nervous energy he had originally and was kind of a little bit awkward in a couple of the interviews. And I even went back and there was an offensive coordinator, press conference he did with Tennessee, because I was, reviewing some of the coaching candidates well before they, even were, announced Matt LaFleur as the head coach. And I was going back and watching some of his press conferences, and he had, again, kind of that, whether it's nervousness or whether it was just kind of a unique speaking tone and pattern, whatever it was, and that's evolved already. And he's already become much more comfortable, which is such an incredible evolution in such a short period of time, I feel like.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about. I wonder if there is any sort of, there is absolutely a bunch of media training, I'm sure, that the Packers put him through. I wonder if there's anyone in particular if he's worked on that, or if they've addressed that deliberately. I am sure, knowing the Packers communication staff, they have definitely put him through whatever that process is, but it is kind of interesting to think about.
Yeah,
I have to poke around and ask about that.
There you go. Well, we'll look forward to that as well. You have two homework assignments already. This is what we do. We bring you on and then we give you homework assignments.
I love that.
Kind of same question here. There's obviously a lot of new faces in Green Bay overall, not just the coaching staff, but there's all of the rookies. There's the four big free agents. Anyone else that stood out to you kind of in that regards as somebody who might be able to make an impact or has taken on a leadership role?
Yeah, Hackett's obviously, like I said, one of them. Think of the free agents. I mean, Both of the Smiths, Za'Darius and Preston Smith, are great talkers. I mean, one of the things that stood out to me from that very first press conference that we had with all of the free agent signees was that the Smiths were great. Za'Darius especially, I thought, and he's very articulate and passionate when he talks, which I think always makes for a good soundbite. Yeah, but same with Billy Turner. I thought he's had some good things to say. But yeah, it's interesting to see the Smiths out there now that they're sort of the leaders in the outside linebackers room that has gotten a very drastic makeover this offseason. So it's interesting to see them already become leaders just inherently because of the changes that have happened. And they're I guess, how long they've been playing the game now. They're new to Green Bay, but they are absolutely leaders in that locker room already on the defense. Someone else who I think has stood out is Darnell Savage for sure, just because of the responsibility he's been given just in OTAs and minicamp. And I know there's only so much that can be taken away from OTAs and minicamp in terms of the performance that we see on the field. They're not wearing pads. So there's only so many things that we can really take away. But it is interesting to see who's running with the ones, who's running with the twos, who's running with the threes. And Darnell Savage has consistently been running with the ones alongside Adrian Amos. So it's been interesting to see him there. It's all pretty much confirmed what we all thought would happen was that he would be a starter for the Packers. And sure enough, it certainly seems that way. It'll be interesting to see how this whole Josh Jones situation pans out. But for now, I mean, it looks like he's made a good impression on the coaching staff and he's going to be given a pretty big responsibility. So those are a few of the guys that have stuck out to me the last couple of weeks.
Awesome. Well, that's certainly great to hear. You know, you love to see, you know, the free agents come in and, you know, kind of take some of that leadership role. And then, as you mentioned, Darnell Savage is going to have the potential to have a big impact on this defense, just being a potential starter from day one. So, like you said, you always have to take OTAs with a grain of salt and you can only, you know, only take so much away. And we've had some stories in the past of it. You know, in fact, Josh Jones is a really good cautionary tale because he came into rookie minicamp and then minicamp and OTAs and was absolutely the talk. You know, of those practice sessions. And, you know, we see where Josh Jones is at today. DJ Williams, a tight end about, you know, seven-ish years ago, was the same sort of story where he came in and tore up, you know, rookie minicamps and OTAs and then, you know, basically disappeared for the rest of his career. But at the same token, very similar to what I was kind of talking about Matt LaFleur before, you want to see some of these things and you don't want to hear any negatives. But the fact that you're starting off on the right foot and you're hearing some of these more positive attributes rather than some negative things is just getting things started on the right foot. And hopefully that gets things rolling in the right direction.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, listen, I highly doubt any of the players would have anything bad to say at this point. And if they did have anything bad to say, it certainly wouldn't be in the locker room on the record. But that being said, like what we've heard so far has been very positive, especially about the energy and the vibes, using air quotes, around the word vibes, but yes, it's so far it's all been very, very positive with a lot of the changes.
And like you said, it doesn't have to, you know, necessarily be, you know, that they're saying anything negative. Like you said, that probably was never going to happen, but you know, Tremont Williams and Devontae Adams are not exactly, you know, hyperbole hype machines. And for both of them to go out of their way, to say how well Darnell Savage is doing, I feel speaks, you know, pretty big volumes as well.
Yes, definitely. I forget what the questions were. I remember when Adams talked about that last week. It's definitely, yes, it is. The praise is definitely significant. Definitely prompted, though. But sure. It's definitely, yes, I, for them to have such glowing remarks to say about a rookie. I mean, a guy who's just coming in and is just getting familiar with the defense that's, you know, this is their second year together in the system, I think says a lot.
For sure. Absolutely. And then kind of on, again, on the same realm, is there any returning player from last year to this year who's maybe taking on more of a leadership role that you've seen or anyone that's really kind of made some strides in the offseason?
Yeah, I think, and this is going to be obvious for sure, but Devontae Adams has somehow, his role has even increased from last year. I mean, he was such a dynamic player for the Packers last season, had a very impressive season for the team. And that role is even increased now that Randall Cobb is gone from a leadership perspective. And I would be pretty comfortable saying that Davante Adams was a leader in the locker room last year, especially among a lot of those rookie wide receivers that he had to mentor. But now that responsibility has increased even more because of Randall Cobb's absence. So I would definitely say yes, Davante Adams, and he's acknowledged that he has more of a mentoring role, more of a leadership role, just because of Randall Cobb being gone. But certainly, of all of the people to have to bear that load, I think he's definitely capable of it. All the receivers seem to look up to him and chat with him about things that are going on. He seems to be quite a good resource for them. So if I had to pick anyone, I would definitely say Davante.
Yeah, and his trajectory through the NFL so far has just been so fun to watch, where he came in, had a fairly impressive rookie season, and then had that really brutal sophomore year where he was hurt and banged up. And I think Mike McCarthy said that he was the MVP of training camp, and then had just an awful year. And we found out later it was, you know, basically all due to injuries, and then the bounce back, and then really to go from star to superstar, I think, over the course of this past year. And of course, he's leading the you know, charity softball game now and taking on that leadership role. And for me personally, when I went back and graded all the games last year, for me, he was the MVP of the team on the field. And to see him even take more of that leadership mantle, and to hear Aaron Rodgers want to get him, you know, 200 targets, which I don't think is out of the realm of possibility based off of how often he gets open. It's just been a really fun career to watch.
Yeah, no, good for him. More power to him. It was funny to hear Aaron say that, for sure. But no, it's definitely, I mean, hey, if he's the guy that's going to get open, and he's certainly a reliable target for Aaron Rodgers, then he should get the ball to him as much as he possibly can. I think it'll be a really interesting year to see how these receivers, the competition there, pans out. And I'm excited. It's been an interest. It'll be good to see Geronimo Allison come back. I really didn't get to see him at all last season. I came in around week 5 of the regular season. So I really haven't seen him very much at all. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I think that receiver group is going to be one of the more fun ones to keep an eye on as training camp and in the preseason rolls along. But yeah, Geronimo Allison definitely, hopefully, is a big part of that as well. You know, the last kind of question that I kind of wanted to go over with you is, you know, Michael Cohen just left The Athletic and left his spot on the beat, and he had a really great podcast. If you haven't had a chance to go listen to it yet, our listeners, make sure to go do that. And he kind of gave some, you know, behind the scenes of what it's like to be on the beat. And I just kind of wanted to pick your brain a little bit as to what that kind of fraternity is like, and what it's like being on the road, getting to know the players, and then also getting to know, you know, so many of those colleagues as well.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a fraternity, and I think that's a good in a lot of ways. It's male dominated for sure, as it is in just, I'd say, every market, but it's a lot of fun. I really like the colleagues that I work with. They've been very good to me. Again, I'm very young. I graduated college last year, and for me, I'm not only am I working with men, but I'm working with men who are a lot older than me. So I think it has been great. I have learned so much from them. It's definitely different. It's a different dynamic that I'm used to, working with people that, like I said, Tom Silverstein has been working for the Journal Sentinel. I know, and I don't mean to age him, but he's been working for the Journal Sentinel as long as I've been alive, which just goes to show how much experience he has and how much knowledge that he has. So I love talking to these guys. I love learning about the Packers. I have learned so much about football and about the Packers and life just by getting to work with these guys every day, not just my colleagues, but everyone on the Packers beat. And there's so many people that cover the Packers. Oh my goodness. It's a small town, but it is truly a statewide team. And I think you know that, Andy. I'm sure everyone listening right now knows that. But really, the whole state media shows up for practice, and they show up to the games. And it's really something to see. I've met a lot of very awesome people, both on the TV side, in the print side of things. It's been really great to get to know everyone and to make some new friends. I personally really enjoy it. It's great to have people, resources to go to, people to ask questions. to, I've enjoyed it a lot. It's, we have a lot of fun on the road. We try to get out and explore and do things together when we can. So it's in a lot of ways, it is a family. We are competitive with each other. But we also work together and we hang out and we're friends. So it's a good balance, I would say.
No, that makes a ton of sense. And, you know, just kind of a follow-up to that, what's the biggest grind? I mean, I'm sure the travel and things like that get taxing at time, but is there anything else that just becomes kind of a grind as you're working on this?
Oof. Yeah, the travel is huge. I think it was, what was it? It was the Patriots game. It was Boston, where we wrapped up whatever we were doing there. And I think we literally went right to the airport. And we had a flight right after that game, and we flew right back to Green Bay. So that was a grind. That can be a grind. The travel can certainly be a grind. There become points in the season, especially last season when the Packers, it became pretty evident that they weren't going to make the playoffs. It gets challenging to figure out things to talk about, things to write about, after a certain point when you know that there are no playoff hopes for the team. So, and then eventually, you know, the coaching staff, that change certainly helped with things to talk about in the off season. But it can be a grind for sure, but there are so many players on the team. It's not like basketball where like you're talking about the same guys all the time, at least from my very short-lived Bucks experience so far. it can be, you feel like you're talking about the same guys a lot, but with the Packers, I mean, really there's always something going on with somebody. So yeah, it's certainly a grind, but it's a lot of fun.
Awesome. Well, you know, hopefully this is the last time in your time in Green Bay that you'll have a team that doesn't have a playoff run in them. So hopefully that won't be a grind for you going forward.
We will see about that. We don't know. Who knows? Who knows?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, Olivia, thank you so much for taking the time. Before I let you go, what are some things that you have maybe coming out in the future that we could potentially keep an eye on? And what are your kind of plans for this upcoming season?
Yeah. So yes, lots of stuff going on in the off season. The Packers are not playing football, but the Press Gazette and the Journal Sentinel are always pumping stuff out. The off season is a great time to do features and some cooler long form things. So I won't tell you specifically about what is on the horizon, but there are definitely things on the horizon, not just from me, but from all of my colleagues. Yeah. So that's going on. I'm doing more Brewers stuff in the NFL off season as well. So if you're a Brewers fan, make sure you're checking out some of the stuff that I'm doing for the Journal Sentinel. We're doing a Brewers show called Just a Bit Inside, featuring our Brewers insiders, Tom Hodricourt and Todd Rosiak. And we will be doing a show before the start of every homestand. So that will also be something you can look out for.
Awesome. Well, that's perfect. Thank you so much again for taking the time. Where can we follow you on social media?
Yes, my Twitter is at Reiner Olivia, my last name and then my first name. I have a Facebook page now as well. I'm sure if you look for Olivia Reiner, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, that'll pop up. I need to get better at posting over there. I do not have a public facing Instagram account. Even just my private Instagram is, I haven't posted in a few years, but I'm going to work on bringing that back. So perhaps in the near future, I'll be on Instagram, and that my handle for that is Olivia Reiner. But at the moment, Instagram is not a thing, but for sure, Twitter and my Facebook page.
All right. Well, we will make sure to go out and follow you and keep an eye out for that. We will keep an eye out for all of your features coming out this season. As I mentioned, you are absolutely killing it, and I cannot thank you enough for taking the time for joining us today.
Oh, thank you. I enjoyed our conversation very much, and I appreciate the conversation.
Absolutely. We'll definitely have to do it again sometime. For those of you, again, who aren't following Olivia already, make sure to follow her at Reiner Olivia on Twitter. That's R-E-I-N-E-R-O-L-I-V-I-A. For those of you who are going to be catching us tomorrow, make sure to listen in as Jake and Ross will catch you up with all the latest and greatest Packer news. Also want to wish Maggie Lawler, our very own, a happy birthday. I know as you're listening to this on Monday, it'll be a day late, but it is her birthday today as we are recording this. So Maggie, very happy birthday to you. That does it for us today. Huge thanks to Olivia Reiner. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.
One kick away from the NFC Championship game from the 41. Left hash mark, 51-yard field goal attempt, snap, placement, kick to the upright, and